And welcome to this, the August 9th, 2009 edition of Forward Forum. John Quinlan here. And for the next hour, we have a chance to preview a very exciting event. It's part of a 20-year history here in Madison, but something that this year has a new energy and many new aspects to it, and that is something now called Wisconsin Capital Pride. Again, part of that long legacy of Madison-related pride events that go back to the Magic Picnic and big event that I was privileged to be a part of 20 years ago, sponsored by a group then called Galvanize, a gay and lesbian visibility alliance. We're very thrilled to have in studio three representatives of the Wisconsin Capital Pride Committee, and that's Maria Parker, Scott Williams, and Kelly Reichardt. Welcome to Forward Forum, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was good to have you here. Hey, just as we go into the show, just wanted to bring folks up to speed on a couple of interesting events, one happening now, one happening tomorrow. And for those of you who have been listening to us over the past several weeks, of course, you know all about the Act 7 AIDS ride, which is culminating as we speak up on the Capitol Square. And while we encourage you to join in and listen to this show, if you happen to be out driving in that area, if you want to catch something that's just a really remarkable event, that's the closing ceremony when people are riding in from all over, or rather from that last leg of the trip. And there's a ceremony that will be occurring probably about 2:30 or so that involves the riderless bike that, of course, is paying homage to people who have left us because of the AIDS epidemic. And a lot of folks riding because of relatives they know, because of friends who are living with AIDS and HIV. Very powerful ceremony, and that's happening up on the Capitol Square, I believe, the Martin Luther King Jr. Drive entrance there. So anyway, if you're out and about listening to that, and we want to salute, by the way, my longtime co-host Stephanie Woods for her participation in this year's ride. If you go to our webpage, the blog at forwardforumexchange.blogspot.com, there's some links up there telling you how you can support Stephanie's work and the work of other people who are riding this year. All of those benefits going in great part to AIDS Network. And as you know about many fundraisers, that sometimes a large percentage goes to administration and other things. But in this case, they've purposefully tailored this in a way that 90% plus of the proceeds go directly to improving the lives of people with living with HIV and AIDS and other preventative programs. So anyway, I encourage you to support that important cause. Incidentally, just something mentioned as we talk later, is very resonant with, I think, the traditions of 20 years ago when the Names Project Quill was an important part of that first ride, and of course an important part of our collective history as an LGBT community. I also just want to mention that tomorrow there is the monthly meeting of Communities United, which is a civil rights-related coalition. And Maria, I'm not sure if I've had a chance to get you to one of those meetings yet or not. We'll have to work on. Maria's very active in the local Martin Luther King Coalition and other civil rights related stuff. But again, this resonance with the LGBT rights movement and other civil rights movements. This is a group that meets over lunch the second Monday of every month, in this case in the downstairs boardroom at M&I Bank. And tomorrow, discussion about priorities facing the community at this time of budget cuts. And I think there's a lot of notion out there that somehow folks are only concerned primarily with garbage collection, police, basic other services. And while those things are very important, the emphasis in tomorrow's meeting is to find a way to put a focus on those other community services that are vital to keeping the quality of life going here, to serving communities that and people that need help, and delivering that message to the folks at the city council. There'll be a special guest tomorrow, too, who we had hoped originally to be able to interview briefly on this show, but we'll catch her before too long. Her name is Alandria Williams, and she's with the education department of a group called the Highlander Center, a group that was instrumental in training many of Dr. King's workers on behalf of civil rights. It continues to this day to be a place where young people are brought forth into the fold and working on those causes. And she's going to be sharing some very important lessons that she's learned through that work and perhaps relating it to what we're doing here. So again, that's M&I Bank tomorrow. Just come and ask one of the tellers where that basement boardroom is, and they'll direct you. And there's lunch included. So we hope you'll be able to join in on that. And once again, want to remind you, you're listening to Forward Forum here on Madison 1670 WTDUI. And John Quinlan here with our guests, Maria Parker, Scott Willems, and Kelly Rickart. We're going to be talking about Wisconsin Capital Pride. And Maria, since you did so well last time, I think I'll start with you. Maybe you can give us, as we go into this, just a bit of an overview of what that calendar of events will begin, beginning, I guess, on Friday of this week, right?
Friday of this week, that's the 14th. We are planning on hosting a, or organizing a commitment ceremony or recommitment ceremony in the Capitol Rotunda. That begins at 5, and registration will start at 4:30 at the State Street entrance. We are also hoping to be able to, we're working with Dane County Clerk to be, try to be able to set something up so people, if they want to register that day, that that can happen. That's not confirmed yet. It's something we are working on, though.
So it's one of those works in progress, and I would imagine that also part of what you faced was, too, a lot, so much of the attention back last Monday with the clerk's office opening
yes.
things up and everything, so a lot of folks took advantage of that possibility.
But, exactly.
But you're going to try to find some way to mark this important
right.
distinction.
Good. Kelly okay. and I, who are partners, were went and registered already.
All right.
Partly because while we wanted to do it at our event, we realized as organizers we probably would be too busy to be able to participate in that way, so we wanted to make sure. We took care of that beforehand.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And then continuing on through the weekend?
Then on Saturday is our festival, the beginning of our festival at 2 o'clock, and it continues until 9 p.m. that evening. That will be at Willow Island at the Lion Energy Center. We're going to have vendors, food, as well as a whole host of entertainment. Ann Christopher, who is a local singer-songwriter, will be there, as well as Perfect Harmony Men's Chorus will be participating as well, and Vicky Shaw, who is a nationally recognized comedian, and Goddess and She, who also nationally recognized but had some roots here in Madison for a while, will be our main performers that evening. They are a hip-hop group.
Well, that sounds great.
And then going into Sunday at 1 p.m., we will be having our Pride Parade. That's around the Capitol Square, so hopefully we'll see everybody there. And then the festival will continue beginning at 2 p.m. after the parade. So after you've been to the parade, if you can come out to the island again and continue celebrating with us there, that and the celebration will go on until 7 p.m. that night as well.
Okay, a full weekend of events. And Scott Willems, you have, for folks who are looking for something, a great resource that's out just now. And that's this beautiful Pride Guide for 2009, Wisconsin Capital Pride. And it's got a very fitting subtitle on it, Pride Then, Now, and Tomorrow. Can you tell us a little bit what went into this and some of the special contents that's there?
We really focus when we tried to put our Pride Guide together on not only talking about the various events that were happening and helping promote our sponsors, but we also wanted to make sure that there was some content in there that really kind of reflected what we really saw as our central theme for our Pride celebration this year, and that is Pride Then, Now, and Tomorrow. With this being the 40th anniversary of Stonewall and the 20th anniversary of Galvanize in Madison, it's fitting, I think, in the community that we all get together and recognize the contribution so many other people have made in order to really get where we are today. So we talked to a number of people in the community and asked them to write articles for us, talking about either Pride Then, what Pride means to them now, or think a little bit about what Pride might mean in going forward in the next few years. So we have quite a range of different topics. Some of them are very personal stories. Some of them are more philosophical.
Yeah.
I think it provides some very interesting reading, and it's insight on the different aspects of our community.
Yeah, it reminds me of our process 20 years ago when we were doing something similar and both trying to capture the national picture and talk about the Stonewall Rebellion and other other events that we were commemorating, but also that there's this real strong tradition here in Madison, Wisconsin, that maybe sometimes gets overshadowed by stuff on both coasts, but it's a really important tradition to embrace and to remember. Is that part of what you found along the way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wisconsin was really the first gay rights state back in, I believe, under Lee Dreyfus in the 70s.
1982 was the exact date, but yeah, there we go. That's all right.
Late 70s, early 80s. I was about 18 then. So.
Yeah, well, history major here.
Yes.
Let's bring Kelly Rickard in the conversation if we could. And Kelly, again, we'll come back throughout the hour and fill in some of the details on all of this. But we were talking just a little bit ahead of time that I think part of the journey for all of you too has been. Just in the whole process, I guess, that's involved with this, trying to figure out, you know, how to put your ducks in a row, essentially, and then how to make sure that all of the voices that are at the table are being heard. What's that been like for you? Have you learned some things along the way?
I've learned a lot. We started from scratch, learning what we needed to do, even just to become an organization, just to be recognized as an organization. And then going into elections and writing the bylaws. And it's been a really eye-opening process of what other organizations have to go through and starting from scratch with absolutely no money and trying to get things done is really is very hard. So it's been very eye-opening, and learning the different processes and learning what works best and really listening and communication, learning that's the biggest key for any organization.
Okay. Well, again, throughout the hour, we'll have a chance to hear more about reflections and all that. We do want to remind folks, if anyone's out there driving around or just looking out the window, you know that there's some inclement weather in the area. There is a severe thunderstorm watch out for this area. We're going to have further details to come throughout the hour, but please stay tuned to WTDY for all of those details, and please exercise caution. A severe thunderstorm watch throughout the listening area. Let's see, what's a good direction to go from here? One of the things we should do, because we've got three of the committee members here, perhaps, is to recognize some of the folks who aren't at the table. And Scott, do you want to do the honors there of explaining some of the other folks who have been involved?
Yes, absolutely. Kelly kind of talked about what a long process it was to really kind of get the organization off the ground. We were very fortunate to have just a real core group of really committed members, both, officers and coordinators and board members, as well as other volunteers. Without them, we just could not have done it. It was an awful lot of work. And our organization, we have four officers in place. I'm the senior co-chair. Maria is our junior co-chair and will be our senior co-chair next year. Kelly is our treasurer. And Dustin Olson is our secretary. As we go down and look at some of the other committees, we have Mark Whitehead, who's our entertainment coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Porter, who's our logistics coordinator. And that's a huge role, and it's a ton of work. And Mark has just really slugged through everything.
Could be wrong, but I think Mark was involved, at least in some way, the first time around on events or something. But yeah, like 20 years ago, right?
Absolutely. Stephen Stafford is our volunteer and our outreach coordinator. Derwin Lay is our weekend activities coordinator, and he's responsible for organizing the commitment ceremony and the parade. Brett Stewart is our vendors coordinator, and Jasmine Lind is our fundraising coordinator. A couple other people I think that we need to recognize as really being contributors are Craig Berger, Toby Sigel, who leads our Dykes on Bikes chapter here in Madison, Ingrid Ankerson, who helped us put together our website, and Aldo, who helped us with our graphics.
That's arts. Aldo Perez.
Aldo Perez.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, and by the way, any of you who are listening, who are on that list or have participated in some way in organizing this year's events, or historically have been involved, we invite you to join in our conversation. Give us a call here at 321-1670. *123 for U.S. cellular phone users, toll free, or 1-877-867-1670 if you're calling in from further afield. But while we have the three of you here in the studio, I think you kind of are emblematic of, again, some of the other folks that you've mentioned in terms of you know, some of your motivations, maybe your own history. So someone just go around the table and get some sense of what motivated you, and to the extent that you want to tell it, maybe your own coming out story or your own journey, if you could. Maria, well, we start with you if we could.
All right.
And Maria, if you can move the microphone just a little bit more directly in front of you there.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll try this. I've been in Madison for, 12 years now. And ever since I moved here, I basically, when I moved to Madison, it was kind of my moment to come out. Where I had lived before, I just wasn't in the position to be able to come out, and even to myself to some extent. So Madison really has been the environment in which I've done, evolved through that journey, so to speak. And I've grown a lot in the time that I've been here. One of the things that I have always wanted to do, even and did it to some extent before I moved to Madison, was I tried to become active in the community and in ways that seemed to mesh with what my interests were. Not so much like really to make events happen, kind of in the process that we're doing for Pride, but more kind of from a background, like helping other organizations and supporting them in whatever way I could. Obviously, that has kind of grown over time. I've been involved with a number of organizations in Madison since I've been here. And I kind of got to the point where I felt like I wanted to do something a little bit bigger than what I had been doing before. And with when we as an organization started trying to develop, I got involved early on, and I realized right away it was something where I felt not only that did my interest mesh, but it was something I felt was really needed within the community, and to be able to build something that would continue to grow through the years, to build up on what had happened or what our history is, and to be able to keep growing.
And your activism reminds me a little bit of my choices along the way, too, in the sense that it's been a collection of picking things that are very specific to LGBT rights, mm-hmm. but also embracing broader civil rights struggles and seeing those interconnections. Does that make sense in terms
yes.
of the choices you've made?
In fact, partly because I started my activism, so to speak, before I came out, even to myself, it was I want to be a part of organizations that bring groups together, even if they don't necessarily start together, to try to build those bridges and bring people together. And that's where I would like to see the Pride organization go, is to be able to reach out to those other community organizations and try to bring us all together and build something together. Maybe it's something for our organization. Maybe it's something to help other organizations.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And then those are words, again, that ring true from 20 years ago. I think a lot of our aspirations, and in some cases, didn't quite fulfill all of those expectations, but some good bridges built along the way. And it's really great to renew that,
right.
the commitment, and again.
So. And because I wasn't here 20 years ago, it's for me, also kind of being a little bit of a history buff,
uh-huh.
I like hearing those stories about what it took within Madison itself to be able to move us from 20 years ago to where we are today, where we now have domestic partner benefits within the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think some people take it for granted. Madison's a progressive community, and so somehow this just all spontaneously, you know, happened. And
right.
we had some of the same arguments to make with people about basic things like our role in children's lives. And so hence, you know, some of the changes that happened in the school and acceptance of us and our families and all kinds of other things. Madison's no different than that. We really had to get to know people and tell our stories and have events like this.
Right. And share our stories and not be afraid to share our stories.
Absolutely. I guess we'll go over to you, Scott. What got you involved with both this putting on these Pride celebrations recently, and then to the extent that you like, just sharing, you know, what has gotten you involved and motivated generally?
Mm-hmm. I moved to Madison in 1983 from De Pere.
Mm-hmm.
Was quite a shock. De Pere is a very conservative city.
I grew up in Howard, Swamico, so I know the neck of the woods, lay of the land there pretty well.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, when I moved down here, I was still very much in the closet, and I really didn't come out until about 1990. And once I came out, it was just such a liberating experience that it just really kind of took all of this internal stress and all that just sort of lifted it right off my back and finally kind of allowed me to become who I wanted to become.
Yeah.
You know, I just felt so inhibited because of that. And As that process went along, I found myself getting more and more involved in different organizations and different communities, and becoming much more of an activist member of the community. So I originally got involved in Pride back in 2004 with the old organization. And at that time, there was really only one person who was trying to do everything.
Yeah.
And in the course of those 2 years, I was one of the co-chairs of Pride the second year with Ed, the owner of Club 5.
Mm-hmm.
And we really just poured our heart and soul into build that organization out and develop a whole group of core committed members to really try to allow Pride to become what it was and to become what we had hoped it could be in Madison. And with all the events of the last year with the old organization, quite frankly, I felt that I needed to step up and try to make sure that our community had this celebration, as part of it. I think it's so important that we as a community are out and are visible in the community and really develop a sense of family and a sense of commitment and to try to bring all the other aspects of a number of different communities together to have this celebration. And that's one of the reasons. That was really the primary reason I got involved again.
To tie together a couple of things, as you're saying, both personally, I think, in terms of also community building, if you reflect a little bit more just on this whole concept of what it's like to be in the closet and then what coming out means, because I think sometimes people in the general public, it's a little hard for them to picture what that's like, how extreme the fears are, how exaggerated they are on some level, but how difficult it is, because in some ways they are rooted in a reality that not everyone accepts us, and there is the danger of rejection from family and church and other things. So if you could just reflect on that a little
Absolutely.
Bit more, and then what does this community building do to help remedy some of that?
Well, I guess I can speak to that from myself personally. Coming out is a very personal thing. I'm somebody that really internalizes a lot of things and stress. And when I was in the closet, I found all of that really negative energy really driving inward to me. And I wasn't able to really develop good relationships with people. I was, very, very unhappy. And when I did finally come out, I recognized that, coming out isn't about other people accepting you. It's about you accepting you.
Mm.
And once I did that, that's when that whole burden was really kind of lifted off of me. And quite frankly, that process took me 2 or 3 years to it's one thing to tell a really good friend. It's another thing to sit down with your father and your mother to tell them.
Yeah.
those are two very different conversations. For me personally, it was really just taking that negative energy and having so many just fears of what, everyone else would say if they knew, and channeling that into a positive that, the really important people in my life aren't going to care, and they're going to be happy that I told them.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, and you just, again, reflecting back on 20 years ago, I think part of our hope at the time, and it was something that was definitely in everyone's mind, was that folks would be motivated to come out, to use this as an occasion, to embrace that sense of community and everything. Sometimes we think we've come so far that there's no need for that, or that kids don't get harassed in school, or mm-hmm. all kinds of other things. And, of course, there's still a strong need for all of that.
Oh, yes. Yes. Even when I, today I meet somebody at work and they don't know I'm gay. And when they ask me, I automatically have that compulsion still
yeah.
to say, to really kind of, well, should I tell them or not? I came out, almost 20 years ago,
yeah.
and I still have that compulsion. So that's still a very big issue in our community, and people still fight through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still an ongoing process. Go ahead, Maria.
Speak a little bit to that. There, for me, my perspective is a little bit different, at least within the work environment.
Yeah.
I have, anytime somebody asks, it's, for me, I've never really had that, oh, maybe I shouldn't tell them. It's just, I think part of it is the age in which I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
It I'm a little bit younger than Scott. And so the perspective that I've grown up, because I benefited from the events 20 years ago, 40 years ago, the time in which I came out, it was much more accepted. I was able to come out. I've not really felt that fear. Granted, coming out to your parents, everybody feels that, just because you always hunger for their acceptance. But within a workplace environment, for me at least, I've never really felt that.
So we really have made some progress in that sense, to create that environment that you've been able to.
From my perspective, I would say yes, that we have made that progress.
And welcome back to Forward Forum. John Quinlan here with my guests in the studio, Maria Parker, Scott Willems, and Kelly Rickert, again, all members of the Wisconsin Capitol Pride Committee. Going to be hearing about this series of events in this segment, and probably a little bit more specifically about entertainment. But before we do that, we've had a chance to kind of go partway around the table and hear more about personal motivations. In this case, Maria and Scott have gotten involved in some of their life journeys. So Kelly, let's give you a chance to reflect on this too. What got you involved?
I've always been, I grew up kind of always helping the underdog. I was never in the upper echelon of anything, but I always didn't like anybody being oppressed or put down or picked on or anything. And I always volunteered for a lot of stuff. And as I got older and realized that I was gay, it is a very hard thing to do and to come out. My family has been very supportive, and even though I never really came out to my father, who is a 33-plus-year military man, diehard right-wing Republican. So it was very, very scary to me to come out to him. I didn't never want to just come out and say anything to him because, you know, I've seen how he reacted to other people, and I was just not sure what to do. First person I ever told was a friend, and that was probably the scariest thing, because once I realized, I kept it inside for a long time and didn't want to tell anybody. And, you know, she said it best to me, you're still the same person, and I still love you for who you are. And when she said that, that gave me, you know, the realization that I am the same person. I haven't changed. I'll still be fighting for the underdog. I'll still fight in the community. I'll still do everything I do. And so that gave me the bravery to tell my parents, and I told my mom, and she's like, yeah, your dad will be fine with it. But I never really told him, although I've been told that if I ever leave Maria, I'm being disowned. Maria is the lucky one there. it's really scary how similar our parents are, yet very different, because I am not accepted by her parents, and they're both, our fathers are military men.
Yeah.
Same ages, born in the same years, you know, so it's very scary how similar, but yet dissimilar our growing up was, because she grew up in the South. I was born and raised here in Madison, so I guess I've been kind of lucky in that aspect.
Maria, I'm trying to remember, where were you born?
I was actually born in Georgia, but most of my childhood I grew up in Oklahoma.
Okay.
In rural southeastern corner of Oklahoma.
Actually, I looked that up the other day because my sister lives up in Tulsa, so I was curious how close. Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead,
so
Kelly.
We, it's always me. I've always volunteered, and actually I also have to say is go Riders. I was on the steering committee the last 2 years, this year included, for this ACT rides. Been participating in them, but unfortunately this year Pride kind of engulfed me. There's been so much work to do, so I had to give up one thing, and there are so many capable and people that are so dedicated to that. I was willing to leave that to them, and then, really dive into Pride and get the stuff done. I just wanted to see more of a cohesive community of ours, and that's part of it. And I know Pride is something I want everybody to participate in. I want everybody to feel comfortable to bring their kid out to Pride. I want everybody to feel comfortable to come out and have a beer at Pride, to have a drink at Pride, to come buy some Pride wear. Just come out and and be prideful, you know. And we don't, it doesn't have to be the entire, all the gay people. I want to see our straight friends and our allies out there joining us and saying, hey, we love you. Let's party together. Let's have a good time. Let's,
yeah.
You know, this is what it's about, is bringing the entire community together, not just the gay community. So that's what it is to me.
Well, it's always struck me that that's an important part of the Madison story. I think, you know, people wonder where the gay ghetto is in Madison. I think we don't necessarily, mm-hmm. you know, other than maybe the Willie Street neighborhood or something that you might say there are a few more rainbow flags. The neat thing is we're really a part of all the community. We're woven into it, and that's partly because of the allies, our friends and neighbors that have become extended family to us. Does that make sense?
Exactly, exactly. And that's really what I'm in it for, is I just want to bring everybody together.
Absolutely. And I need to break in for Weather Bulletin from Tara Arnold.
Good afternoon. It is getting pretty nasty in some parts of South Central Wisconsin this afternoon. Let me just bring you up to date on what's going on. We have a severe thunderstorm watch until 6 o'clock for Columbia, Dane, Crawford, Dodge, Grant, Green, Iowa, Jefferson, Rock, and Sauk. So pretty much if you're hearing this, you are under a severe thunderstorm watch until 6 o'clock. Also got a couple of flash flood warnings right now. Lafayette County until 5 o'clock, Green also until 5 o'clock, and Rock County until 5:30. The worst of it seems to be rolling into the Janes area right now. If you look at radar, you know the color red when we're talking about storms is not good at all. And the whole Rock County area right now, there is red on the radar map, meaning you are getting hit pretty hard right now. But then behind this current storm system is another one that's probably an hour or two behind this one. So we'll keep you posted throughout the afternoon. But again, a severe thunderstorm watch for the entire listening area until 6 o'clock, and a flash flood warning for Lafayette, Green, and Rock counties. Keep it tuned right here to WTDY for the latest. Now, back to you guys.
All right. Thanks again to Tara Arnold from WTDY News for that bulletin. Again, be cautious out there, and we'll keep you posted as the afternoon goes on. You see head shaking over there. So perhaps before we move on to more specific entertainment, any other thoughts on some of what Kelly's been talking about? I think maybe, again, so many of us, you know, there are times when relations are difficult with family. In my case, I'm very lucky that my parents and sister and other aunts and uncles were very close, but just lost an aunt who continued to send the gay conversion diatribes and some of the other things, even though she did it maybe in a fairly innocuous way. But you know, that continues to be there. But I think one of the things that compensates for me is the families of creation that I've been a part of. The ironic thing is LGBT people get criticized that we're somehow destructive of family. We're traditional in the sense that they were 100 years ago. We're creating all kinds of new family structures. And so for the kids in our family, for example, all kinds of aunts and uncles and other people out there to support them. Does that make sense? Let's start with you, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Pride is one of those unique organizations that's really right in the center of everything. And it touches all aspects of, you know, not only the LGBTQA community, but just a number of other communities as well, you know, allies. And so, you know, a lot about what we try to do is we try to build bridges and really try to bring ourselves together into one really big family. You know, so many people and a number of my friends actually that I have talked about the fact that, you know, they don't have very good relationships with their existing family, and this community really is their family and is their stability in their life. So
Marie, just give you a chance.
I especially, Kelly kind of spoke to it, my family is not as supportive. Part of it from my perspective is my family still lives in Oklahoma, so they don't see me on a daily basis.
Mm.
Whereas Kelly's family does see me on a daily basis for most part. So, and again, that gets back to you have to be comfortable within yourself to be who you are around everybody at whatever point you're around them. I am out to my family and I am who I am around them. But I do see hesitancy in the way they interact with me as to what the conversations might be.
Yeah.
Seldom do they ever initiate a conversation about Kelly, what Kelly and I might be doing. It's always, what are you doing, Maria? Whereas if I initiate it, I mean, I'll bring everything up. and I'll talk about whatever is going on at the time. So,
yeah. Well, but I mean, go ahead, sir.
That said, within Madison, because we are, and family is kind of like family of necessity versus the as well as the family you're born into.
Yeah.
Because my family isn't as comfortable with my relationship, I have to find a family that works for me, and Madison is very supportive of that. I obviously include members of the LGBT community as part of my family, but I also have a wide family in my allies and especially within my coworkers, which I like to point that a lot.
Well, I want to mention too, partly having grown up in the South, and I'm sure conscious of the civil rights legacy, you know, the things that occurred there, but also, you know, knowing, you know, in a very personal way that that oppression still exists, that a lot of the misconceptions and myths that society perpetuates are out there, and you feel that even within your own family. You know, it's got a grate on you sometimes when people say, but that's all a thing of the past. And besides, this is progressive Madison, and we don't have to worry about it here. Or anyway, the notion of discounting different types of oppression that people still do feel very acutely, very personally.
Exactly. And I kind of come to a little ice. And not only did I grow up in the South, but my mother is from Mexico. Her family was migrant farmers. And so their perspective on their my perspective on their struggles kind of is what led me down, like help those who don't have the support that a lot of mainstream Americans do have. As well as growing up in Oklahoma, I mean, Oklahoma is Native American territory.
Yeah.
So, and part of what I was taught in grade school was, we beat down, so to speak, on the Native Americans, and I learned that all through Oklahoma history. I also heard it from my family's perspective that as we were trying to move across and into the States, it's like everything, it just seemed like we were getting pushed down and we weren't able to grow, and that's kind of where I come at it from, is I like to build those bridges so that we all see each other's differences and be able to support those differences.
Absolutely. And I mentioned just in passing, but again, for folks who didn't hear that, of course, one of the ways you've done that is to be part of this Martin Luther King Coalition. Just briefly, some reflections on what that's meant for you?
To me, it's a whole different part of the Madison community. I mean, people that I interact with through the King Coalition, I don't usually interact with through other areas. But in some ways, I like to bring those groups together where it makes sense. And just seeing the other communities, it helps. Like, obviously, some of the things I've interacted with there and helped with there, I bring to my role here within the Pride organization.
Yeah.
So there is that cross, as well as obviously networking opportunities. People that I know through the King Coalition or through other organizations, they may have a resource that would be perfect for Pride or vice versa. And if I'm able to bridge those divides and be able to introduce somebody into a new community, it just helps. It helps everybody in the long run.
Again, in terms of the discussion of this hour, we welcome your thoughts about the significance of Pride celebrations. It's interesting. I was sitting in Maria's seat on the an interview maybe about a year ago with one of my colleagues from the station, just asking about Pride celebrations, why we still have them. Just the topic of drag queens, people in leather, or things that maybe in his mind played into stereotypes. Why do you have that kind of thing out there when you're trying to win hearts and minds and things like the referendum and all the other stuff? Anyway, there may be some interesting directions we can also take the conversation when we come back with Ford Forum in just a moment. And welcome back to Ford Forum. John Quinlan here with my guests in studio, Maria Parker, Scott Willems, and Kelly Rickert from Wisconsin Capitol Pride, talking about the great sequence of events that are coming up this coming weekend, beginning on Friday. And Maria, why don't you take it away one more time, maybe just a Reader's Digest version of some of what's happening this weekend.
Okay. Friday the 14th, we are planning on doing a mass commitment, recommitment ceremony at the Capitol, in the Capitol Rotunda. That starts at 5 p.m. with registration and check-in beginning at 4:30. That registration check-in will occur at the State Street entrance of the Capitol. On Saturday, we will be hosting the festival, first day one of our festival. That begins at 2 p.m. That will be held at Willow Island at the Alliant Energy Center. For those of you who may not know that, that's where Bratfest is held. So if you can use that as a point of reference.
That I have an aerial shot up on our blog, too.
Okay, so. Cool. Thank you. And that will continue until 9 p.m. We have a number of entertainers lined up for that day. Ann Christopher, who is a local singer-songwriter, will be there. Perfect Harmony Men's Chorus will be there as well. And Vicky Shaw, who is a nationally recognized comedian, will be there, as well as Goddess and She, who are a lesbian hip-hop group, will be there as well. In addition to our entertainers, we have vendors and other vendors as well there. So hopefully you'll come out. We will have a dance pavilion as well, where we'll have a number of local DJs performing. So we'll have the main stage and the second stage.
And then on Sunday, there's a parade on the Capitol Square?
That is correct. Sunday, the parade starts at 1 p.m. around the Capitol Square. And then it will. When the parade ends, we ask everybody to come out to the island again with us afterwards. The activities at the island start on Sunday at 2 p.m. and continue until 7. There we have a couple of entertainers as well lined up for that. We're hoping Sunday will be more of a family-friendly environment. We're encouraging families with children to come out and join us that day. Sunday will include Lynette's Enchanted, for those who may know Lynette. She's a local singer, songwriter extraordinaire here in Madison.
Beautiful jazz singer, among other genres. Yeah.
As well as Earthling Invasion and Kingtown Rockers. I believe we have a couple of clips.
We're going to see what we can get. I think we're going to start with just a few reflections from Vicky Shaw. This is maybe a little atypical. She usually does something a little more stand-up, but this is actually resonant with our earlier discussion. Vicky also grew up in the South and talking about some of her experiences. This is from the Logo website, where she is a frequent entertainer. She's also on Comedy Central, other groups. And she mentioned she lives down in Rockford with her partner, who is a police sergeant, I think. Is that right?
Yes, I believe that is accurate.
And this is a few words from Vicky Shaw, if all goes well. Let's see.
I really just think comedy is a gift. People can and some people can't. And those that can, it's a gift. And you do it because you have to. Okay. You just have to. It's not an option. You just do it. Whether you get paid or not is a bonus. But that's why. I think that just, I do it because I have to. My mom, when I came out, had a hard time with the whole coming out and the whole comedy thing, because my family really doesn't have much of a sense of humor. Not in a bad way, just not their strong point. And just a few months ago, my mom, for the first time, she's 83 years old, and she goes, "Who would have thought that you would make people laugh?" And I said, "I know, because, I was talking to my mom." And I said, "I know, who would have thought I was funny?" And she looked at me and she goes, "Oh, well, no, you know what? You always could tell a good story."
And again, that's Vicky Shaw. She sharing a few stories there. I think just because we've got some limited time here, if we could just maybe talk about some of the other artists and tell us a little about. So Earthling Invasion, that's kind of an unusual name for a group. Kelly, have you got the lowdown on them?
Not too much. I just know they're a local group of guys here in town that are family, I believe, and they're wanting to perform, and we're giving them the opportunity. And Kingtown Rockers, they are a local reggae band that we are giving them the opportunity and wanting to perform because they're a lot of fun. They performed at Summerfest opening for I think it was the Wailers.
Okay.
So they're a nice band in that aspect. A lot of fun. Again, we're opening on Sunday with a magician also for the kids.
Okay. And just sounds like in general, great variety of different kind of genres and other things.
Yes.
So just an extension of what I was asking Kelly about in terms of the diversity of the entertainment. I know one of the challenges we faced 20 years ago and some of the subsequent things was things that were appealing both to women's and men's community, for example. Has that gone into some of your decision making? Let me start with Scott.
We've certainly had discussions about that around the board. And, you know, I think ultimately the way we approach things is we just wanted the best entertainment there. And I think with the entertainment we have, I think in general, most of our performers are appealing to all segments of our community. So,
I would say that was part of our hope, was to be able to appeal to a broad range. Definitely with having the reggae band, the Kingtown Rockers on Sunday, obviously that's a different type of a feel than most of our other groups. So, as well as trying to keep Sunday in mind, that we're trying to keep that a family, encouraging families to come out that day. So trying to bring in acts that would appeal to individuals with children along with them.
That's a relatively recent development. Although I think, again, 20 years ago, we were trying to make the event accessible as much as possible. And the other interesting thing about that was also a catalyst for like the creation of the Lesbian Parents Network, what eventually became Rainbow Families and other things. Mm-hmm. And you've alluded to it a little bit. Could you describe a little bit for that parent who's a little uncertain, maybe gone to a past Pride event and hadn't felt all that at home? And we'll go with you, Kelly. What are you trying to do to make it a friendly environment for them?
On Sunday, we're our sporting groups and our info vendors and stuff are all going to have kid-friendly games and activities. Where the music is going to be, you know, kid-friendly but yet moving. On our dance stage, we're going to have like sing-alongs for some of the kids. DJ playing some kid-friendly music. I'm not saying just kid, it's youth. I mean, not just, you know, young kids, but the teenage, up to the teenagers too. You know, it's like we're trying to make sure everybody has something that they can come for. And so we're doing all kinds of just activities that will entice kids to have fun, but safely. And the parents to bring them out so they can feel confident that bringing their kid out, they're not, you know, it's not just going to be somebody sitting there drinking. There's alcohol, yes, but there's so much more. It's not all about the alcohol.
Okay. Well, as you were speaking, the goddess and she .com website popped up, and actually let's eavesdrop just a little bit on that before we go on. Maybe not resonant with the family theme we were talking about earlier, but nonetheless, really important.
Why they're on the Saturday lineup.
That's on the Saturday lineup. There you go. But again, you know, it sounds like a real coup because there's somebody that really are at the top of the charts in terms of at least LGBT community events these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing about Sunday that I want to just point out is the parade. Anybody that still wants to, you know, attend the parade.
Yeah.
The parade kicks off at 1, but we're starting lineup and signing in at 11:30 a.m. So if you still want to be involved, then you still have the chance to be involved in the parade. You can go to our website, print out our parade application, and then meet at the corners of North Pinckney and East Mifflin Street, which is where Derwin Lee will be taking the money for the parade and your application and everything that you would need if you're still interested.
Okay.
One thing to, since we're on the topic of the parade, that we can mention, our grand marshals this year for the parade will include representatives from the original Galvanized Committee, as many of them as we've been able to contact. There are a number of them involved 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And who are able to be in town for our event.
And on behalf of all those folks, we really appreciate that. It's nice to be able to come full circle that way. One more time, the website?
That is www.wisconsincapitalpride.org, and capital, for those that are grammatical sticklers out there,
it's the building version.
Yes, capital. The building version.
Capital.
So capital, WisconsinCapitalPride.org. I want to thank three guests, Maria Parker, Scott Willems, and Kelly Rickard, for being here today. Again, please go to that website. Please do show up for these Pride events next weekend. Congratulations to all the Act 7 riders coming in. And we hope you will join us next weekend for another edition of Forward Forum. Take care.